Hello, everybody around the world, and we're here at Mike and Abe, the Mike and Abe Show.
Yes.
Okay. It's the middle of what is this? October? Yeah.
And yeah, no. Fall. The middle of October, fall, isn't it? The end of 18. Yes.
Yeah, it's fall in New York. The leaves falling yet, Mike? You see the leaves falling?
The leaves are falling. They're turning colors, which is beautiful, and they're blocking drains throughout the city. And if you're a homeowner, you're saying, "Why am I a homeowner?"
So not only is the traffic blocked, the toilets are blocked.
Well, not the toilets yet, thank God. But the drains in front of houses, you turn your back for one day after a day of raking, and then bah! So if you're a homeowner, if you're a savvy homeowner, you have to learn how to shift around the various drain covers so they don't get leaves jammed in there. So, you know, live and learn.
You know, Mike, all of the Uber drivers and the Lyft drivers and all of the app-based drivers, as they call them, okay?
Yeah.
You know, we're all one breed of taxi drivers, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, well, let me just say, all of these Uber drivers and Lyft drivers and
Schmoober, forgot Schmoober.
Schmoober and whatever, they're all whining and crying about how they're not making any money, and this is definitely true, okay?
That
they're
not,
okay? Yeah. But you know something, Mike? Even with the 42 zillion Uber cars out there, okay, taxi drivers are still making good money.
Only the strong survive. The cabbies have
The strong survive. Yes, we could use a fare increase, okay? Mm-hmm. And, inflation and the interest rates are going up and gas prices are going up. And we should get a fare increase, okay?
We should get a fare increase.
But taxi drivers are not in the doldrums that the Uber drivers are in.
Well, okay. You know, the Uber drivers didn't have to buy a medallion. They didn't have to spend $1 million and they get forced into bankruptcy and in some cases suicide because they lost $700,000 on their $1 million. And I'll tell you, I don't know where the class action attorneys are. I don't know where the big shots are in the business. I mean, I don't understand why people aren't the anarchy thing and just storming City Hall on behalf of medallion owners. I mean, you got people who have just been destroyed because of this Uber fiasco. Now it's a mess. They're blocking traffic. They have no equity, little or no equity in these Uber cars. And now they're saying they can't make money. Well, no kidding. You should have had a 40,000 vehicle cap on the number of Uber cars. And then the city la-di-da'd until I think, you know, I'm looking at this great taxi cab fact book here. The city la-di-da'd until they got to 100,000 Uber cars. They're needless. They're just blocking traffic. They don't do anything except block traffic. And a lot of these Uber cars are just people who have taken their private car and slapped taxi and limousine commission plates on it. And they do maybe two or three trips at night. So you wonder why the traffic is jammed up in Midtown. It's worse. It's a circus. It's a circus where nobody's laughing. And I'm looking at the number of Uber cars. Yeah, so they under Chairperson Nosy. Or she, her name is Yoshi. I call her Nosy. She pulled on 100,000 Uber cars. You gotta be kidding me.
Well. Not only that, Mike. Yeah. Even after the cap was passed by the city council, the 1 year cap, another 16,000 cars were eligible to be hacked up, so to speak.
God.
Because they allowed them to go until the the bill was signed, which was 3 or 4 days later, okay, from when the city council passed it on August 8th. And according to something Ms. Joshi said, that basically, and this I'm quoting from hearsay of what she said at a place where she gave a speech, you know. So basically what she said was that the 1 year cap is only a 4 month cap because the cars waiting to be hacked up pretty much equal 8 months worth of cars that were being hacked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So so it's not over. It's not over. The cars are still increasing. The number of cars are still increasing. Okay.
Right.
You know, now Uber's game is simple. You know, I mean, it's not hard to figure out their game. Their game is make every single car in the city an Uber car, if possible.
Their game is flood the streets. Just flood the streets.
Just the more cars, the merrier. We don't care what the drivers make, because every call that comes in, we dispatch a car and we get our cut.
They're getting 30% of everything. Give or take.
Right. About 30%. Right. So if you're a driver out there and you're not making any money, that's no problem. That's not their problem.
It's not their problem.
Not their problem. Okay. Their problem. Right. Their problem is, you know, all of the billions of dollars that they've borrowed and paying it back. Okay. And they're looking to borrow another $2 or $3 billion. Okay. Right. It goes on and on. It's like run out of money, borrow more. Run out of money, borrow more. Run out of money, borrow more. They're claiming now that they plan to be profitable in 3 more years. I'm laughing. Okay, they want to sell a billion. They want to sell $1.5 billion worth of junk bonds. Okay,
at 7%. I didn't hear that.
It's in the news. At 7 or 8% or whatever, even if it's 6%, it's still a nice interest rate. Okay,
mm-hmm.
but if they can't pay it, you lose your money. Okay,
that's
what a junk bond is. All right, and that, mm-hmm. and it's not me that's saying that; it's the newspapers that are saying that. They're calling them junk bonds, okay? And the requirement, they're always trying to twist the laws, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the city council passed a bill that says, well, they have to pay their drivers X amount of money regardless, okay? So they're looking to wiggle around it by offering stock. To the drivers, right? In other words, we don't have the money to pay you, but we'll give you stock in the company that's billions of dollars in debt. You know, they talk about how much Uber is worth. They're not worth anything in my eyes. They owe. They owe money.
Yeah, you know,
billions of dollars.
Right. So let's see the books. Let's say, okay, you're owned to the company. Congratulations. You owe $400,000. I mean, I don't know how that works, but... you're buying. You know, remember the thing? The guy was. They used to say you can buy stock in Amalgamated Lint. It's the high tech version, in my opinion, of Amalgamated Lint. Good luck with that. You know, let me just jump back to the fact book real quick for our listeners here.
Go ahead.
Okay, the yellow cab medallion, yellow cab, has stayed the same at 13,587 vehicles. 13,587 vehicles. Between 2016 and 2018. The green cab has gone down from, that's the outer borough cars.
Yeah, right.
5,573 in 2 years, down to 3,579. So, and apparently I think a lot of those guys jumped in to buy Uber cars, or as I call it, Suber. And then from 2016, you see a jump in the FHV vehicles and Uber cars by and large. Going from 67,484, which is a lot, and then between 2016 and 2018, it jumped from 67,000 to 107,000.
And it's still growing. And it's still growing.
So by the time these knuckleheads finish, it's probably going to be 120,000 cars, just for that. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That's insane. So I mean, and now they're talking about the MTA. Needs a fare increase? No. Well, guess what? Those 120,000 cars are also sucking the MTA dry. They're taking the money out of the subways. They're taking money out of the buses. They're taking money out of the system. Like, if the workers want to get a raise, the city's going to say, oh, well, revenues are down. Yeah, well, revenues are down because you have Uber drivers making their whopping, what is it, $9 an hour or $8 an hour?
Yeah, then some of them aren't making anything.
And they're not making anything.
Yeah.
A lot of them just have it to drive the car, and it's ridiculous. So, and they block traffic. And there was a time, Uncle Abe, when the city was going to sell yellow cab medallions for $1 million a piece. So, I mean, They did
sell medallions for $1 million a piece.
They were selling easily, and everybody was. And you had bidders being rejected because they only, and in quotes, bid like $900,000. So those are the people who can get a medallion. They were losing bids at $900,000.
Well, you know, the ones that were rejected were the lucky ones.
Were the what?
The lucky ones.
The lucky.
Right. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, you lost, you're lucky. You're lucky, right. You lost.
That's something about rejection. Rejection is underrated. I mean, sometimes you get rejected and see what happens years later, whatever it is. And it's like, mm-hmm. man, I'm so glad I didn't get that, you know, in some case a medallion, in some case like, a woman,
well,
in some case, you know.
Well, pretty much all of these people that bid $1 million or more for medallions, if they haven't been foreclosed on already, it's in the works. Okay?
And it's ridiculous. Shamefully so, because the city could have easily, instead of putting what amounts to 60,000 Uber and FHV cars on the road, additionally, they could have sold like 2,000 or 3,000 yellow cans for $1 million apiece, if all things being equal, and made $3 billion. And the sales tax on 60, the sales tax fees and da-da-da on these 60,000 vehicles, it's just needless obsessive-compulsive disorder, if you ask me, because you could have got $3 billion one shot, and the traffic would have been great, and the cabbies would have been making money. But instead, they went down the wrong road and got sucked into this, I think in Yiddish the word is verkakte deal, and got suckered in by the Uber silver-tongued salespeople. And now they're stuck. Mm-hmm. Now they have this complete mess on the streets of New York. And last night, rainy Friday in New York, it's a sea of Uber cars, and a lot of these drivers, there's no numbers on the car. There's I think a lot of them don't even have a license. And this is, forget about even how many hack licenses they gave out. I mean, on top of that. But apparently, again, the math here, they have these vans, these accessorized vans, has dropped by like a stone. But, I mean, you say to yourself, 107.3. So basically, out of 123,000 vehicles on the street, only 13,000 are yellow cabs. So what is the attraction for anybody to drive the other 110,000 versus the traditional yellow cab? I mean, I don't know.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is, the yellow cabs are still making money. The drivers are still making money. They're going out. They're working their shifts. Yeah. They're paying for their shifts, and they're walking home with you know a reasonable amount of money. You know, if not more that they could use. Okay, but they're not crying and whining and you know the drivers themselves. Okay, I'm not talking about the people that bought medallions and are in over their head and get foreclosed on. But if you just go and you drive for a fleet or for an owner who doesn't owe any money, okay, mm-hmm. you're walking away with money. You're making money. You're getting paid for your work.
Right.
Okay. That's the point I'm trying to make, you know. So, and there are yellow cabs available to any of these Uber guys who just want to make some money and relieve their agony. Okay,
right.
You know, go
right.
Drive a yellow cab. You know, there's plenty of time available in the yellow cabs. Okay,
let me tell you something. People, go ahead. You wrote a great article. You wrote a great article. Ocean in the Burrows. And the yellow cabs have been historically, right, we've been denied the ocean in the boroughs because the TLC, in their stupidity, took out the two-way radios. The app calls, for whatever reason, are a joke. I mean, I'm looking at these for the yellow cabs. And again, jumping back to the fact book, as per TLC fact book, they say, daily e-hail requests top locations. This is the e-hail with the yellow cab program and stuff like that. So we're looking at... the East Village, 63 calls a day, e-hail requests. Upper West Side, 70 calls a day. Upper West Side North, 72 calls a day. So we're saying for 13,000 cabs, we're getting a whopping, maybe 300 e-hails a day. That's ridiculous. That should be 10 times that amount. I don't know why there's like zero publicity on these e-hails. I mean, this should be plastered all over the airwaves and print media and websites. So I'm just trying to figure out why there's no publicity on it. There's a lot of strange things going on. But you're right, the yellow cab drivers are starting to make money, and the Uber drivers, I think, are kicking themselves. We're getting sucked into these stupid car deals. And You have car dealers, they've sold the same car like 5 times. And you said, like, your friend on, what was it, Northern Boulevard, you saw a place?
Oh, yeah, well, Northern Boulevard is, and it's in the news. New York One reports, cabs formerly owned by Michael Cohen and Taxi King, which is Gene Friedman, sit abandoned in Queens. And there's a picture of this gas station. It's on, I think it's 76th Street and Northern Boulevard. Right. It's just swarmed with these cars that the medallions were taken off of.
Like a graveyard, a yellow cab graveyard.
Yeah, and the politicians there are crying that it's a plight on the you know, to see it. Well, not, what's the word? A bad sight is the word I'm looking for.
Eyesore,
right? to see all these cars, and there's a picture here on New York One, right, on the internet. You can read the article on NYC Taxi News. It's up near the top of the page of the news articles, depending on when you see it. Okay. And these, you know, they say the cars are rusting away. They're not rusting away. They're just sitting there. Okay.
They're not rusting away. They're waiting to be painted black so some schmuck can drive.
No, they shouldn't be painted black. They should be sold to medallion owners who want to buy a used car. Because they look, to me, they look like good vehicles.
Well, now you're back on the beam again. Because I'm saying to myself, look, they're perfectly good cars. I just got in the jackpot because the medallion had to be taken off. And if you could fluff them up a little bit, I mean, right now the TLC for the yellow cabs, at least, now this is a slippery slope. The yellow cabs, I think they expanded the inspection schedule from 4 months to 8 months, okay? But for the yellow cab drivers, they're fixing the car all the time. They're in the shop. They're getting shifted. The cabbie's complaining if there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a lot of these guys who will still own wrecks, and I don't think that same 4 months to 8 months extension of expansion should go to other segments of the industry. Because these guys, I was in Astoria the other day. God's country, by the way. If you like food, live in Astoria. I swear to God, if I lived in Astoria, I'd weigh 900 pounds. But I was in there, and I was going into the library. I had the yellow cab parked, and a lady comes out with a cane. She wasn't in a wheelchair cane. She goes, "Are you from the accessoride?" I said, "Oh, no, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm not responding to a call. I'm just going to the library." She goes, "Okay. Do you know anything about it?" I said, "Yeah, I know about it. You do the app, and the guy shows up, and blah, blah, blah." So anyway, I'm sitting there, and some guy, like a real, like, semi-skeevy. He wasn't 100% skeevy, but like 90% skeevy. He pulls up in an old Lincoln Continental, like painted tan, with a sign in the window that said some like car service, gypsy cab thing, and walks up to this woman with the cane with the phone and goes, "Hello." She goes, "Hello." She doesn't know who the hell this guy is. It's a guy pulling up with a phone.
Right.
He goes, I'm here. Am I here for you? And she looks at him and was like, "What the hell is this guy talking about?" She goes, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Did you call for an accessoride?" And he goes, "Well, yeah. Where's your car?" He goes, "Come with." And he walks her over. There's no meter, there's no ID, there's no nothing. And you can see she has this look at her face of like, I don't really know if I want to go into this guy. He points at the phone to say, "Oh, no, this is Michael." And I'm sitting there with the yellow cab, and I'm saying, who the hell is this guy to get an accessoride call before me or before the green cabs? And now is it a case where who's getting these accessoride calls? Are they just like throwing them out to anybody on the street? Because I think the yellow cab and the green cars, considering how much we have put into this program, why are we all of a sudden going to farm out? Or why is the city going to farm out accessoride non-wheelchair calls to these schlubs with these wrecks? What the hell is that? I mean, people are already walking around in canes. They don't want to walk around and drive around in wrecks and get killed. Jesus.
You just don't know who's greasing who.
You don't. And what about that? Speaking of like the guy upstate, the limo driver, the so-called limo driver, they keep calling him limo driver. It doesn't sound like he was a limo driver. It sounds like he's like one of the locals who probably had apparently been locked up for drugs a couple of times. And when you get locked up for something a couple of times, I mean, you've done it quite a few times, and then you get caught, in my opinion. So this guy hops in this, I'm sure everybody knows the story, but for those of you around the world checking in, first of all, how you doing? Second of all, we had some guy, he's driving a 1991 Lincoln stretch limo, 1991. So the car's, was it 2000? No, it was a 2001 stretch limo. So the car's 17 years old. all right? And it's a stretch, and it's white, and it's in the mountains. And it was owned by some Pakistani snitch. Apparently, he made money with the government snitching in Pakistan. Then he took the money he made from snitching, and I'm glad he's snitching because he was snitching on terrorists. But he took his terrorist reward money and apparently bought a limousine company. So one of his drivers apparently is the guy who had been doing drugs within the last 10 years and getting locked up. And previous customers said the guy was cranky and, you know, rude. So he stuffs 18 people into the back of a limousine, comes down the mountain, blows the stop sign, jumps off a ledge into a shopping center, winds up in a ditch. Everybody's dead. And then Cuomo's on the air saying, oh, it's a vehicle. No, Cuomo, it's you because of your stupidity of putting fly-by-night drivers behind the wheels of these cars. I mean, Cuomo is the big, anybody could drive for Uber upstate New York. Well, there you go. I mean, when is it going to become an Uber driver where one of these fly-by-night drivers, instead of a professional driver, kill somebody in the mountains? Abe,
let me just jump in here a second and say that this car was not an Uber car, okay?
It was not an Uber
car. No, but it does shed light on the whole picture of Uber cars and whatever that are running around upstate, okay? You know, are they being inspected? Are the drivers being vetted? Entirely. It's not New York City. It's not New York City where all these drivers, all the legal Uber drivers, have to be vetted by the TLC. This is upstate where I guess all you need is a chauffeur's license, which you could pass. Even if you may not even have a chauffeur's license. Are they checking all of that? In places like Schenectady, New York, where this happened, somewhere around Albany, Schenectady or whatever, or in Syracuse or in Buffalo or in all of these little towns that are in upstate Ithaca, they all have Uber drivers now, but no TLC is on them, okay? The only ones they have to report to are the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles.
Right.
Okay, so I guess if you have a chauffeur's license, you're legal, okay? And if you don't have a chauffeur's license, who's checking to see that you do have a chauffeur's license?
There you go. One thing about those folks listening in who don't know some of the intricacies of the yellow cab business in New York City, we have what's called a TPEP system, taxi driver, whatever, where it's a little computer where you can't make money on the meter in a yellow cab unless you physically punch in your taxi ID, which is hooked up to the TLC website brain, and there's like ID identification numbers all over the cabs. And I'll tell you, that's one thing where I think people are starting to get it. I mean, all these millennials are they're all these geniuses, that they're so smart, they're computer geeks and everything else, but now they've gone around the horn and they realize that the good old fashioned yellow cab ain't so bad after all, because the driver is drug tested, has a hack license, has to log into the system. And you get numbers all over the place, and it's a nice, loud yellow color where you see where the cab is, you know where the cab's going. It's inspected on a regular basis, fixed and maintained. And like I said, for you get into one of these app cars, God forbid, or one of these fly-by-night limo deals, you take your life in your hands. I mean, it's such a horrible story. I mean, these are like young people all set to start families. I think a few of the people had kids and just wiped out because of one guy. Driving, like, in my opinion, driving a death mobile in the mountains. And now there's some controversy. Did the brakes fail? Was the driver intoxicated or high? Or was he on drugs? Or what? Blah, 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 blah. But you say to yourself, look, you're stuffing 18 people into the back of a limo. I mean, that's a lot of weight. You're talking about 2 tons of weight, almost 2 tons of weight in the back of a limo on top of the weight of the limo. So if you're coming down the hill on a T-bone intersection. And I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't exactly genius road planning, because I saw that little inky-dinky stop sign there, and you could see it was like a launching pad into the shopping center. I mean, it must have looked like something out of a James Bond movie when that limo went in the air, because he went through the stop sign. You could say it was a little bit of a slant where I guess the guy tried to take the turn and started losing it. And whatever evasive maneuvers he did, he chose the worst option, because I don't know what
he was either speeding drunk or distracted, or all three?
Or all three. I mean, who knows? And okay. Like I said, then maybe he was speeding and the weight just wouldn't let the car slow down. I mean, they're going to say, oh, the brakes.
Yeah, well, this is a good lesson for why you should never drive fast anywhere. Okay.
Because
it is possible. Maybe you're a little tired or something, and you don't see a stop sign.
Right.
Okay. Well, or you see it a little bit too late.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe there was a stop sign at this intersection. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he didn't stop. He just kept going.
Well, I'm guessing the guy, if he's one of the locals, probably knew the roads like the back of his hand. But when you got that much weight, you're trying to. I mean, and you're trying to stop. It ain't going to happen. I mean, you're coming. I don't know what that road was. I think you said it was an inclined road. So if you're barreling out of the mountains doing 60 miles an hour with 2 tons of humans in the back on top of the weight of the vehicle, and then you got to take it's a 90 degree turn after the stop sign, and then you're trying to stop and take a 90 degree turn. It's a river Dirce Roma if you're going too fast. So this is what happened. And you look at the vehicle; it wasn't like smashed to ribbons, but I guess just and probably nobody had a seatbelt on in the back either. I mean, so it's just
they were having a party in the car, you know, I guess the driver was joining in on the party, and it's just bad. It's just look, it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing what happened, and you know, there's probably plenty of blame to go around.
Right.
Okay, but you know, certainly it does shed light on all of these vehicles that need to have drivers that are responsible, able to do the job. Okay?
Well, let me just jump back to you again, tying this in a way, to the value of the yellow cab. If we have in New York City, give or take, 9% of the vehicles are yellow cabs for riding people around on the street, we should be getting paid a premium price. We shouldn't be begging for nickels and dimes like we have been under de Blasio and Yoshi. We still need a fare increase. I don't know about this, what's happening with this Cuomo $2.50 a trip thing, but we need a fare increase for the drivers and for the taxi owners the guys who are running cabs. It just has to be something done because we're beloved by the city. We've been in business for 80 years, and these fast buck artists who are on the streets, 107,000 FHV vehicles, and now they're complaining they're not making money. Yeah, well, no kidding. The foundation of quicksand versus concrete. So you should reward the yellow cab and keep it viable. And I would say, I've often said that the same with the subway. They should take one subway line and charge $5 a ride on the subway and mint it out. Get one of the rats, get one of the wackos, clean it up, and make it like a luxury service. And I could almost say, the yellow cab now, it's 9% of the people riding around in cars are yellow cabs. But then again, we have all the bells and whistles that people want from a service standpoint. And we're all of a sudden, we're last on the list to get paid? Bullshit. Pardon in the word to quote Mayor Giuliani. Bullshit.
So. Okay, let me just say something about the subways. They're going to start extorting us for $2.50 a ride. Okay.
Starting in January.
Or $2.50 additional per ride, a total of $3 per ride, starting in January. And there's an article this week in Cranes, okay? No light at the end of the tunnel for MTA, controller fines. The Napoli sees little improvement under Lotus' $836 million subway action plan. And what he's saying in the article is that the subways are in such horrible shape. They're still trying to do things that were scheduled for 10 years ago.
Oh, okay? God. Yeah.
Well, many years ago. I don't remember the exact number. Uh-huh. Okay. And what they're saying is it's almost beyond repair, their subways.
Well, okay? You
got to understand, these subways were designed and built over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And for the longest time, they were good. Mm-hmm. All right? But the state government, the MTA, took over what was a private enterprise, okay, dating back to up to the 1960s.
So you're saying the subways were owned as a private enterprise for a long time?
Yeah, there was the BMT, the IRT, and the IND. It was the Brooklyn Manhattan Transit, Interborough Rapid Transit.
Right.
Okay, and independent. I'm not sure what that stands for, what that means. But these were private enterprises from the beginning. Okay, mm-hmm. I guess private people bought out property to dig underground and create this subway system. And New York City has one of the greatest subway systems, without not talking about the condition of the vehicles, right? But mm-hmm. the underground, to have dug out all of that underground, you know, and created, you know, that I can't imagine how they did it back in the early 1900s and the late 1800s.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I mean, this thing was built 100 years ago. I mean, they dug holes in the ground for miles and miles and miles from scratch. Yeah. And now all we're asking these people is to just change the light bulb, get rid of the rats and the garbage, get the homeless out of the subway. Enough. I mean, it's ridiculous with these homeless. They're not even homeless. They're drug addicts and psychos. They belong in institutions. They don't belong sleeping in the freaking subways. But, I mean, the thing exists. You just have to maintain it. All this is maintaining the system. And the other
thing, it hasn't been maintained. That's the problem. It has not been maintained over 100 years. It's been bit by bit, piece by piece, a little here, a little there, maintained. And it's reached a point where, like, you know, if you got a used car and everything is going wrong with it the day by day by day, right. you get rid of the car and you buy a new one.
Right.
Okay? What the subway needs is to close down for like 5 years and to get in there and basically rebuild the entire system.
Yeah.
That's what it needs. And that's why they're allowing all of these cars to run around Manhattan, because they don't have any other solution.
You hit the nail right on the head. You should have a sound effect of a bell going up, because I think this is their solution. This is the political solution, is just flood the streets with cabs and cars and black cars and blue cars, and just flood the streets with cars. And the other thing is, I'm looking at with all these cars in the street, the air has to be horrible. Because, I mean, there's only, I'm looking at the hybrid breakdown for vehicles. This fact book is great. You go to the TLC website. Mm-hmm. It's the NYC.
Well, it's on NYC Taxi News. I have it up on the front page, the link.
Oh, so forget that. Give us the business and go to the fact book and our site.
Yeah, go to NYC Taxi News and in the upper right hand corner of the page, mm-hmm. of the first page, you'll see 2018 TLC fact book. Click to read. It comes right up. Okay, I'm looking at it now. I'm clicking on it, and the book will appear in a second. In fact, I put the book on the NYC Taxi News server.
Beautiful.
Okay, so it's there. Okay.
Well, jumping back to the issue at hand, it says hybrid vehicles. I'm looking at the fact book again. The yellow cab in 2018, of the 13,500 vehicles on the street, 8,600 are hybrid vehicles. So we're very eco-friendly kind of thing. And mm-hmm. Same thing could be said for the green cars. They have 3,500 vehicles now. 1,600 are hybrid vehicles. So that's what's the matter. So about 60% of the 50% of the green cabs, and over 75% of the yellow cabs are hybrids. Then you jump down to the other non-yellow, non-green. What the hell do you call these things? SHLs or something like that, or for hire?
The street hail liveries, SHL.
SHL, non-yellow, non-green. You look at that, and there's 107,000 of them, and only 18% of them are hybrid vehicles. So you say to yourself, with the additional 87,000 cars on the street pumping out carbon monoxide and pollution, what the hell are they thinking? I mean, these are the big so-called progressives. So they've destroyed the labor market for the working poor, polluting the air. I mean, what is their plan? There is no plan. There's plans flood the street because the subways are horrible. And every time you go down to the subway, you think they're fixing something. I see, like, maybe 8 or 9 guys with Dayglo vests on, walking in slow motion. They're carrying a light, or they're carrying a hose, or they're carrying a hammer. It's like watching instant replay. I mean, there's no work being done. There's some yelling. You got to get 1,000 people in there for a year to mint it out. Get one subway line north and south for starters. Say, listen, we're going to throw 1,000 people in here, mint it out, $5 a ride. The end. And that'll be that subway line. That'll be the whatever a catchy name would be, the VIP subway or something. And, you know, the other thing the MTA messed up, and Abe, I'm going to send you one of the, I found some metal tokens from back in the days. I'm going to give you one as a gift.
I have some. You don't have send me.
Okay,
I won't. I have some in my collection, yeah.
All right, so I'll send you another baseball card. How about that? Does that feel better?
Yeah, send me a baseball card. Don't send me a Yankees card because they can't win.
Oh, by the way, real quick, what's the deal with Earl? What's the deal with Earl Hershiser? What is with Earl Hershiser in the playoffs? Is this guy kidding me or what? He's
from yesteryear. Where did he come from?
Not Earl. Oh, who's the guy? Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, Kershaw.
Yeah. The trade wreck.
Are you talking about the guy plays for Milwaukee?
No, I'm talking about the guy who pitches for the Dodgers, and during the regular season, he's the best player in the world, and in the postseason, he turns into C.C. Sabathia.
That used to happen with A-Rod. He would hit 40, 50 home runs during the regular season and strike out in the playoffs every time he came to bat.
That's what they call a Mayrod. Mayrod.
All right, but look, the we're not ESPN. We're NYC Taxi News.
We're NYC Taxi News. How about baseball?
Want to say this. The pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers last night, I was watching a little of the game, hit a home run. He hit a home run.
Oh, he did?
He hit a monster home run. Not just over the fence. It was like way over the center field fence.
The pitcher,
You know, the pitcher. I forget his name. Uh-huh. I said, these guys are going to win the World Series.
I love Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a great team. Yeah. They're going to win everything. Yeah.
All right, so listen, let's get back to the taxis, all right? Okay, we've talked about a few things, and I just want to say there's a city council meeting on Monday. Okay,
right.
The FHV committee, and they're supposed to discuss accessibility in the taxi cabs. Okay,
right.
I have a gripe. I have a real gripe. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Why are the unrestricted medallions restricted to the NV200? Why? Why?
It flies I know in the why. Face of the word. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. When the restricted medallions can buy any. Number any one of three or four choices of wheelchair accessible vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know, and the reason is simple: is because of the contract that Bloomberg, Yaski, and I understand that our taxi commissioner was part of the legal team that agreed to make half of the taxis accessible. Back in 2010, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And, you know, if you have a taxi and you're being forced to buy this NV200,
mm-hmm.
okay, which everybody hates. I don't know why, but they hate it.
A lot of blind spots. There's a lot of blind spots that are that much.
Yeah. Okay. You know, me personally, you know, I have a medallion. Okay. And I think I'm going to be due to buy one. A year before this contract expires, it was a 10-year contract, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that car. If I have to put my medallion on the shelf for a year, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, you make more money make more money not running a cab, probably, you know?
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know, I'd be happy to buy an accessible vehicle if I could have a choice of what vehicles to drive.
Right.
Like the other accessible taxis, medallions have accessible medallion, as you call it. Okay, mm-hmm. They have a choice. Why don't the unrestricted medallions have a choice? We're unrestricted. Okay, we've been around forever. Okay, mm-hmm. We didn't have an opportunity to be an accessible medallion because you didn't create those medallions until later.
This is true.
Okay, so this is not fair. You know, this is not fair. You signed a contract that shouldn't have been signed, okay?
Right.
You agreed to the courts to an agreement you shouldn't have made, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're sticking it to the people that have been around forever and have been servicing the public for many, many years, okay?
Right.
You know, you're sticking it to us. I don't like being stuck with something. Okay.
Well, especially the way we were stuck with it what could you almost say a no compete contract where, you know, I mean, you, you, the the beauty contest for this vehicle was very strange. I mean, we had a couple of cars that looked great, and I was like, nope, that's not the car. It's the car that the future. You kept waiting for this cab of the future, and then you say, oh man, that's the cab of the future. I mean, and it's made. And you look at the sticker; it's made. I think 93% of it is assembled in Mexico. So yeah. You say to yourself, well, what are we? You're the Mexican cab of the future in New York City is made in Mexico. So it's not made by United States workers with all this Make America Great stuff. And now we're stuck with this contract until 2020. And you say to yourself, and then for them to say unrestricted versus restricted, it's each word now means the opposite. We're living in opposite world where restricted means unrestricted and unrestricted means restricted. So I know what you're saying, kind of.
Yeah, it's not fair. It's not fair. If you're going to allow one yellow cab to buy, to have a choice of three or four accessible vehicles, then you should allow all the yellow cabs to have that choice.
Well, the other thing is, I saw a guy on the street who, and this is one thing about the taxi business. If it's a problem, they complain right and left. If something is good, they don't tell you anything. This is what, in my opinion, historically, cabbies on the street, if there's a problem, they'll cry until your ear is bleeding. If something is good, they say nothing because they want to keep all their cars.
And I want to add that the green cars that are supposed to be accessible, they have the choice also.
Yeah.
This is insane. Yeah. This is insane.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally insane. It's like the guys that have been in the business the longest, okay, we have no, what do you call it, superiority. You know, if you're part of a company, well, you have superiority if you've been around
seniority.
Right. I'm sorry, that's the word. Even though it's superiority, but you know, right. I mean, I do feel superior. If you know, in the many years that I drove, I felt superior to other drivers. But look, you know, regardless of my silly feelings, okay. Mm-hmm. Seniority. Okay. I said, Mike, what else we got going today?
Well, the other thing I just want to say, last thing before I get out of here, I'm going to drive. It's raining on Saturday in New York City, so I want to get it while it's hot. This is like can't be heaven up there now.
Well, let me say something about working on Saturdays to all the taxi drivers out there, okay?
Yeah.
There are a lot of taxi drivers out there that don't like to work on Saturday night because there are a lot of drunk people out there and all kinds of problems can come up. But
correct.
Saturday afternoon is one of the best times to work.
Saturday afternoon is fun.
Okay. Yeah. You know, if you go out there around 11, 12 o'clock or earlier, if you can do it, okay, you will make money by 4 o'clock. You will have a day's pay.
Well, let me tell you what I do. I mean, I have a deal now with a great guy who's been in the business for years. What I do, he gives me a nice weekend deal for Saturday and Sunday, but I hate Saturday. So what I do is I try and get an early jump on Saturday to cover at least like 60% of what the deal would be. So I eat Saturday, and I use the cab for my personal stuff, food shopping. Sometimes I'll take the cat to the vet, take the girlfriend to the racetrack or whatever the hell it is. You know, I don't know. But things of that nature. But the bottom line is you got to make this business work for you. And that's one thing about driving a yellow cab in New York. You can use this cab also like for your personal use. Like I said, I don't like driving a cab on Saturday night because I'm like the wacko magnet for these people. And I said they're too drunk for Uber. These club kids who are too drunk for Uber, they don't want to ruin their precious little star rating with Uber by puking in the Uber car. Because they also bang them for $200 on their credit card, which I like, which I wish we could. So they hop in a yellow cab, and it's in the rule book. You don't have to pick up drunks. And that's another thing with Yoshi. She's got this public service announcement you have to pick up everybody. No, there are provisions where you don't have to pick up some people when they're drunk or you're too tired. So Yoshi doesn't say that.
But let me just say this. You have no way of knowing if they're drunk until they're already in the car.
What's that?
You may not have any way of knowing just how inebriated they are until they're already in the car.
Well, here's what usually happens. It's usually a waiter or waitress from a restaurant that has them drunk,
hails
you, and then they drag out some poor slob who
and
looks
throw
like
him
he's
in the back seat.
Or some poor slobette, as the case may be. And I'll tell her, I said, listen, I don't have to take that person. You might want to call an ambulance. And then the waiter or waitress sometimes will get snotty and say, you have to take him at the law. I say, listen, I know the law. I don't have to take that person. And I should call the, I should call our parents and tell them what happened in your restaurant. And all of a sudden, they run away. So, but I've had a few times where people have, you know, you say, oh, wow, it's nice they're helping their friend out of the bar. But they want to pawn off their the friend that they got drunk on us. And then a lot of these people, they either throw up, and when they stop throwing up, they're unconscious and they have no money. So I don't really, I've never really made a good living picking up drop-dead drunks. So it's not my problem. And it's in the rule book. You don't have to take it. It's 54-something of the driver's rule.
Yeah, and I just want to say this. There's no throw-up charge in a yellow cab.
There should be.
Should be, but usually the way it works is when they throw up, the driver pays to clean it up.
Right.
Okay. All right. You got to go to the car wash and they'll take the take their hose and their steam thing and they'll actually clean inside the car for you. Okay. I've done it a few times. All right.
Well, listen, let me ask you, if you were still driving, if you could charge a passenger's credit card $200 every time they threw up in your cab, you'd be picking up drunks all night.
Well, no, I don't. It's not worth $200.
Well, see, okay. I would just like I would dexter the back of the cab with like the plastic covering.
I once had a girl throw up. She came into the front seat because she wanted to give me directions out in Toms River, New Jersey. I took her right
baseball and, caps.
She threw up all over my dashboard, all over me. The front seat, okay? And the money that I made going out to Toms River, New Jersey, I had to spend twice that to clean it up.
She threw up on you.
On me, yes, on me. You know, I needed directions. She was in the back seat with her boyfriend. Yeah. The boyfriend fell asleep, right? Yeah. And I asked her when we got off the Garden State Parkway, I asked her for directions and, you know, to the house. And she said, let me come up front. She said, and I said, okay. And she came up front and threw up all over the place.
Man.
All right. So let's just say, don't pick up drunks if you can help it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the other thing is,
leave it at that. All right.
Yeah. I've had twice where, drunk hipsters have thrown up in my cab on Throop Avenue in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah,
and I think it's just something about, I say, where are you headed? And they'd be like, Throop. And as soon as I say Throop, they're throwing up. Because I think the word itself, you're halfway there, you know? So
That's that far from the Brooklyn Museum.
Oh, yeah? Okay. That's good. Well, that's probably where they were coming from.
Yeah. Okay, listen. Let me thank some of our sponsors. The MTBOT, okay? Checker Management, WB Taxi,
WB
Equity Now, and Queens
Equity
Medallion.
Equity Now,
and Queens Medallion. Okay, thank you for your support. Okay,
yep.
and if anybody wants to chip in and to help support us, our website is viewed several hundred times a day.
Right.
Okay.
Thousands of
times
a month.
300, 400, 500 times a day.
Right.
Okay, and you get your bang's worth a buck.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're talking literally about 15,000 times a month. So we have people, you know, we have a good mix right now. I mean, we've done some geek stuff to see who's watching the site. And out of the 15,000 views a month, we probably got about 8,000 or 9,000 people steady groupies to the site. So we love them. And we thank you very much for your support.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to have you along, like the taxi website groupies, that people who just can't get enough of us. And I'll tell you, the Hurricane Michael, that's what I'm going to call myself from now on. I got my own.
Yeah,
I made enough money where I can afford my own hurricane.
You got your own hurricane, Mike.
Right.
Okay.
And our hearts and prayers go down to the people who got killed down there.
Well, I
and
feel
listen,
bad
let me tell you,
for
when the government says evacuate, there's a Cat 4 hurricane on the way. Do yourselves a favor. Evacuate. Don't stay for the hurricane, please.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. All right, Mike. Let me let you go to work.
Yes,
okay?
I will. Yeah.
And have a good weekend.
Hurricane Michael is on the road, and thank you very much, and God bless America.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all next week.
We hope. If we're not here, we're trying to get here. Just remember that.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. We're all knowing, all seeing. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, world. Bye.